This is Android Buffet, episode number 176, recorded December 2nd, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
That was interesting.
Was it?
Yes.
How so?
I recognized it as a song.
You don't usually?
I'm kind of tone deaf. So
okay. Well, I thought you...
Like a rhythm that makes the song, then I normally don't catch it.
Okay. Did you get that one?
I recognized it as a song. I did not recognize the song.
I thought that was the most easily recognizable Hanukkah song out there. I Have a Little Dreidel.
Okay.
Everybody seems to know that one. They don't know any of the great classics. But I figured... Mm-hmm. In honor of Hanukkah, I would play that.
Yay, Hanukkah.
No? Not a big fan? Yes.
Of Hanukkah?
Yes.
Sure, Hanukkah rocks. Go Hanukkah.
Okay. No, I just, for the holiday, I went to go see my relatives. My father came up from Florida and left my mother behind. And we took a nice drive, and his car has Sirius, and I was listening to Sirius Channel 111, which this week is Radio Hanukkah. Apparently, there can be Christian stations on Sirius 365 days a year, but Jewish music gets 8 days.
I'm sure there's a Jewish channel.
Not on Sirius. There are Jewish radio stations or shows that have stations that have Jewish programming at various times of day. I'm just saying, with a specialty network where people pay like Sirius, you think there'd be enough demand for people to pay. But no, 8 days. Oh, well.
I thought it was 12.
No, that's Christmas.
Oh.
It's 12 days of Christmas, 8 days of Hanukkah.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway, so...
And once again, I demonstrate my complete uneducatedness on the things that are, you know, outside of my immediate purview.
Okay.
I'm apparently unworldly.
Don't worry, Jerry. I am also unworldly. I've never been to Jacksonville, and that's part of the world.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Sometimes.
I've never asked you, how did you come to dwell in Jacksonville, being as your business seems to allow you to dwell anywhere?
I was in the Navy for a decade, and Jacksonville, I got stationed in Jacksonville.
So you became fond of it?
Yes, I very much like Jacksonville.
Well, I'll have to visit it someday. You'll pick me up at the airport, right?
Of course.
And you'll show me the zoo with the dinosaurs, or you told me that was the attraction?
If the dinosaurs are here, it's not a year-round thing.
Well, maybe I'll come back one of these days. I'm still trying to figure out. I have to go and decide what my vacation will be for the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like to plan these things out in advance. I was supposed to give it in today, but I forgot because I forgot to actually do it. But I have to go look at a calendar and decide when I want to go on vacation. So maybe I'll try to resurrect my last year's canceled trip to Canada. I was really looking forward to that.
You could always go to London on November 9th.
What's happening on November 9th in London?
The Dallas Cowboys, my favorite team,
yes,
are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, my daughter's favorite team.
In London?
In London.
London, Ontario? Which London?
England.
I thought they didn't do that over there.
Next year, they are going to try some international games. So there are four NFL games that are going to happen in London at Wimbledon Stadium or something like that.
Interesting. I did not know this. So you learn something new every day. But I was in London last year for the first time. And, you know, I figure I should expand my worldliness. Somebody told me I should come.
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to convince you to go see Stonehenge, and you did not.
I tried. I filled a lot of things in that trip. But, you know, I could always try Europe again. Although somebody did tell me that they would like me to join them on a group tour, that I could get a very reasonable rate if I wanted to visit Israel.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have relatives there I haven't seen in years. I don't get out much, so usually I only see people when they come here.
Sure.
So if you remember a few years ago I went to see my Italian relatives, I could go see my Israeli relatives. Like my cousin Happy.
You have a cousin Happy?
Yes.
Or you have a happy cousin?
No, we call him Happy.
He's angry all the time, isn't he?
No, that's his nickname, Happy.
Okay.
He's a very jovial guy.
I'm sure.
I thought you were going to ask whether or not he had relatives named Sneezy, Dopey, Doc, or...
I completely missed that.
No.
If I would have thought of it, I would have.
Okay. I thought, you know, you being having the sense of humor you would, I thought I would get that one. But no, yes, seriously.
And absolutely, if it would have crossed my mind, I certainly would have gone there. I'm okay. Not at 100% today.
Okay. To be honest, that is his nickname. I'm not joking. But anyway, so we'll see what happens with that. If I go on vacation, Jerry, mm-hmm. there's one thing I'm going to not forget to do.
What's that?
Tell you.
Ha! Ouch.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Anyway, so it's been a busy week. You know, a lot of things that happened. I went, I told you that I went for Thanksgiving a few moments ago, and I brought along the Nexus 4 and the Blue, and I turned them on and decided to take a trip up Interstate 87 out of New York. It goes between New York and then up to Albany. And do you know what was interesting? All the way up.
I have no idea what was interesting.
All the way up.
I cannot even imagine what could be interesting.
All the way up 87. The T-Mobile phone, which this was, since it was the Nexus 4, didn't have the full AWS band that T-Mobile supports. It only had the 1900 megahertz band that T-Mobile has been refarming. To, mm-hmm. So I only got edge coverage, straight up 87. But okay. As I said, I don't have all the frequencies, even though they're going to be switching those frequencies to LTE and moving their 3G HSPA network to 1900. Apparently, they haven't done that in, you know, north of New York City. So I got all the way up there to where I was going, and I walked into my relative's home, and I pulled out the three phones I had in my pocket, the Verizon phone, the T-Mobile phone, and the Straight Talk phone on the AT&T network. And guess what?
The Blue had the best coverage?
No, all three of them were dead. Then I turned on the repeater that I put in the house for Verizon, and that phone sort of lit up. Out on the deck, I went outside. Not a fun thing in 19-degree weather, by the way. But I went outside, and I was able to get enough bars to make a phone call on Verizon without the repeater on. And AT&T showed a bar, but it wouldn't hold up under a call. And T-Mobile was just dead. So I came to a conclusion.
What is that conclusion?
None of those networks worked there except Verizon, which is what I sort of knew. Because Verizon was the only one where I could sort of make a phone call.
Sure.
You know, I commented about this on Twitter. I wanted to see how many of the reps. I heard the story how some guy talking about possibly switching to T-Mobile from AT&T essentially caused a fight between the T-Mobile and the AT&T Twitter account, and apparently the T-Mobile CEO's Twitter account got involved.
That's funny.
I figured I would see what would happen. So basically they all told, what was it that they told me? Oh yes, as per our coverage map, expectations of that area are that the service is satisfactory. This is T-Mobile's response when I told them what zip code. So apparently satisfactory is defined as non-existent. Then we got to Verizon. They would be happy to check out the area in detail. And let's see. AT&T said, oh, sorry to hear that. Be sure to follow us at ATT for the latest news and network expansion. So they didn't offer to do anything. They just said, keep touching. Eventually we'll be somewhere there.
Sure.
Sprint, your carrier, actually did respond. We're always looking for opportunities. We appreciate the feedback. I see this as an off-network roaming area. We don't have a cell site in that area. So essentially, well, they've admitted.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, so none of them actually said anything about why, but I assume a customer care rep on Twitter doesn't know why it is they can't get a cell tower into that neighborhood. So that's pretty much my vacation story as it pertained to Android phones. But while I was up there, I decided that I'm going to try one more thing. I'm going to try Sprint, because I wasn't fair. I didn't try Sprint.
But you have a phone on Ting, right?
No, I'm going to put a phone on Ting.
Ah, you're going. See, my whole timeline gets all messed up.
So what I did was I went to Swappa. Remember them?
Yes.
And I went to find a cheap older Android phone. So I've ordered a cheap older Android phone.
Should not have done that.
Why?
Because I have a couple old school Evo 4Gs that I could have sent you. I could have sent you one.
Yeah, but I want some with LTE.
Ah, okay.
No, none of the T-Mobile and the AT&T I tested didn't have LTE. But basically,
it's got 4G.
WiMAX is.
Yeah.
That's what I just figured that I know in New York City, LTE is available for Sprint. It isn't, of course, in the area that they referred to as a off-network roaming area. However, there's one interesting fact about Ting. I mentioned to you that Verizon Voice was working. Guess who has a roaming agreement with Verizon for voice only?
Bing.
The Scroogled people?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't know. Bonzos,
Ting.
No way.
So basically, if you may not get data in those areas, but if the idea is that you want to make sure that your calls will come through if you happen to come into an area in a dead zone, then at least you'd have the same reception as Verizon, who is the only carrier that has any reception in that place, even if it's marginal. Also, nice. Ting will sell me a used repeater. So, you know, one of those femtocells.
Yep.
So I'm going to get a phone and put it on Ting, because if I don't use anything or any Ting, their per device charge is $6 plus tax. So if you use 0 minutes, you pay $6.
That was funny. Any Ting.
Yes. Maybe I should see if they're interested in sponsoring the show.
That's funny.
Well, you know, they might want something for this. And you know what they say. You can't get some Ting for nothing. Now, that was a bad one. But.
It was. Maybe if you hadn't also twisted the second nothing, just the first nothing.
I'll work on it for my comedy routine. You know, I can be the first cell phone comedian. You know, two androids walk into a bar. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
I haven't.
Well, they're malfunctioning. If they were working properly, they wouldn't be walking into all these bars. They'd be walking around the bars.
Or at least ducking.
Well, it depends on the height of the bar.
I've heard something similar to that. It's like, so a guy walks into a bar.
Ouch.
The second guy ducks.
Well, I usually say ouch. But you see, this is the thing. The second guy ducked because the first guy walked into the bar. Mm-hmm. And then there's that other joke in that vein. A priest, a rabbi, and a minister walk into a bar. Somebody up there should have warned them. No, never mind. So there's some news.
News.
Yeah, occasionally we talk about news.
We do.
Yes. Have you heard that Sony is seeking a patent on a smart wig hairpiece with sensors?
I don't get it.
Basically, it's a smart wig.
A smart what?
Wig.
Like fake hair.
Yes. It's a hairpiece with sensors. It's a smart wig.
So like a toupee.
Smart toupee.
Smart toupee.
Yes. Wasn't that an episode of Amazing Stories or one of those shows where the toupee took over people? Definitely one of those.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say never saw it.
Okay. You can look it up at some point. But anyway, so apparently we want to connect everything in our world. So we want a connected refrigerator, and now we want connected hair. So what is creepier, Google Glass or Sony SmartWig?
I'm going to go with SmartWig.
Okay. Just asking. So apparently carriers will end 2013 with 176 million LTE connections.
Ooh, go back one. Here's a thought.
Back to the SmartWig?
Yeah, here's a thought.
Yes?
With a SmartWig and Google Glass, you could literally have eyes in the back of your head.
Really?
Ba-da-bing.
Well, see, this is the thing, you know. You have to worry about having your hairpiece stolen.
Isn't that a constant concern anyway?
Well, again, now it would have sensors in it. It would be so much more valuable. Can't you imagine that person who goes and, you know, is one of the early adopters of Sony SmartWig? You know, gets home and discovers that their SmartWig has disappeared off of their head while they've been driving, or while they've been conducting business in the local market. You know, it's been pick-haired.
Yeah, this train of humor is not funny.
I don't know. You went back to the story. I was going to talk about LTE connections.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know what they say. Hair today, gone tomorrow.
You like studied up on hair puns for this story, didn't you? I know you did. That's the type of thing you would do.
How does one study up on hair puns? If I studied up on hair puns, that would be pretty harebrained of me.
See what I'm saying?
I'm just much better at puns than I usually let on. I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm very sorry, Jerry. I know this has been a harrowing experience for you.
Carrying on.
Yes, we were talking about LTE. Did you know half of the LTE connections are in the United States of the 176 million?
I did not.
Well, the reason why is HSPA Plus to some degree. Basically, large swaths of Europe have actually well-developed HSPA networks. So the only country that beats the U.S. in terms of LTE, as I understand it, is Korea. South Korea, not North Korea. Admittedly, that's the country where LG and Samsung are, so that doesn't necessarily surprise me. But basically, LTE isn't as necessary as it is in the United States, where CDMA really needs to die. Sorry, Sprint. Anyway.
You know, I was listening to Coda Radio, and I'm like a year behind on Coda Radio. And I'm catching up. And they mentioned that the specific geographic and urban layout of the United States
Yes.
Make CDMA a technically superior option.
You're correct.
It just travels better.
You are correct. However, the technology has never been able to achieve the speed that we need in a modern world.
Oh.
That's always been the issue. So LTE has the potential to replace that. It'll get there. So there's apparently a new SIM card that would allow you to get local data rates everywhere.
That would be cool.
Well, no, it's just interesting. Apparently this company, Cubic Telegon, has been trying to get travelers who buy their cards to save by negotiating deals. So essentially their SIM cards will detect the country and register with the carrier they've negotiated a deal with to get a local number. And thus you'd be able to use local data rates.
But only for GSM.
Well, it is a GSM world. Us LTE and CDMA people are only living in it. I don't mind. I have my Blue. And hopefully I can figure out a way to get the SIM card out of Pat's Nexus 4 so I can send it back to him. I noticed that one of the things he forgot to send me was the little pin that you use to take the SIM card out of the SIM card slot. You have to, like, it's like one of those CD-ROM eject holes.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a pin in a shirt, and I used it to open it, and then I stuck it into my tissue box so I wouldn't lose it. Unfortunately, I sneezed a lot the subsequent week and ran out of tissues and somehow lost the pin. I'll have to find another pin. I must have another unopened shirt. Oh, well, that's my problem. But anyway, I'm looking for somebody to turn the data roaming business on its head. Because if you go and let's say you have a Sprint phone that does have GSM capability, of which there are some, by the way.
World phones, so-called, right?
Yes, but let's say you have a phone that also has a GSM radio and you want to go abroad, Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint will charge you an arm and a leg. T-Mobile will charge you and will give you 200 megabytes of free data and then charge you the arm and the leg. But basically, if you know you're going, why shouldn't you be able to pay something reasonable? Why can't these people be negotiating deals with other carriers? I'm not talking about every single country, but let's say the major ones. Why is it you're paying so much to go and roam on another network? Look at Verizon. If you go over there, you're going to be roaming onto the Vodafone network. Vodafone has been a major stakeholder in Verizon for years, and they can't work out a deal? Oh, well. And following up on a story from last week, a jury has decided that Newegg did infringe a patent and has awarded $2.3 million.
I can't believe this.
No, no one can. It will be appealed, though.
It's just so...
nuts.
Whatever.
And there was a great article that launched a lot of discussion from a non-tech where they were discussing the issues of removable storage and batteries, asking the question, would you rather have a longer-lasting battery or a shorter one with the ability to swap? This is the first question. So this is the argument. Such a
good question.
Well, no, it's the argument for or against removable batteries. And I was sitting there reading the comments back and forth, admittedly from power users. And, you know, the argument was, well, are they actually putting in a more powerful battery?
That's a good question.
No, in some cases they aren't. In some cases, the milliamps on the battery are pretty much the same as you would have gotten in a removable one. Then the second thing is eventually your battery, no matter how good it is, will start to fail. You can extend the life of your phone if you can swap that battery for a new one. Batteries only have a finite lifespan. So what they're doing is they're essentially shortening the life of your phone, which is the counter argument. So do you know who the only carrier, not only carrier, who the only manufacturer of smartphones who routinely puts in removable batteries is nowadays?
HTC?
No.
LG.
Does the HTC One have a removable battery?
I don't know.
It does not. LG just manufactured the Nexus 5. Does it have a removable battery?
No.
Okay. Samsung.
I don't think so.
Samsung is the only carrier that routinely puts in removable batteries.
Wow, I so suck at this.
Well, the thing is, I have other issues with Samsung. The thing is that phones are not disposable. Phones cost several hundred dollars. Now, if a phone costs, let's say like the Moto G, which does not have a removable battery, $179 off contract, fine, don't give me a removable battery. But if you're charging me $600 for something, I know in a year I'm going to need to replace that battery. I don't care necessarily if it's hot swappable, but I should be able to replace the battery and extend the device without having to mail it back to you. Do you concur with that thought? I'm not necessarily saying a hot swappable battery. I'm saying a user replaceable battery if necessary. Makes sense in terms of longevity. I could live if I didn't swap the battery every day. Some people couldn't. So the other question is, rather than adding a micro SD slot to your phone, shouldn't efforts be made to improve the pricing and quality on additional internal storage?
Well, they've kind of done that, haven't they? I mean, now you're getting your phones in 32 and 64 gig instead of 4 and 8. Right.
But let me ask you a question. So the standard price to go, let's say on the Nexus 5 to go between 16 and 32, so is $50, correct? Let's say I'm right.
Yeah, you're right. You normally are.
Well, no, I looked at the prices for Nexus 5. Here I am going to Amazon and putting in 32 gigabyte micro SD. Here we are. A SanDisk Ultra 32 gigabyte Class 10 card, right? $16.99. 64 gigabyte card, $34.99. This is a Class 10.
So that's which means fast.
Well, you don't really find very many fast. You know, SanDisk is a good quality card, and this is a Class 10 UHS card. According to this, let's see here, transfer speeds up to 30 megabytes per second. So why is it that it costs that the markup on internal memory is so much more if they want to encourage us to not care about that external card because they want us to put stuff in the cloud, which means they have different thoughts than we do. As users, we may want to have stuff at our phone, so I would rather that they give me the choice. Why can't they make more divisions? Why can't there be a 16, a 32, a 64 gigabyte version of the phone? Why can't MotoMaker do that? So not necessarily have them all at the store, but why can't it be like, I've asked this before, like Dell. You go to the Dell site, you customize your device, the factory assembles all the pieces, seals it up, and sends it to you. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'd like to hear what some of our listeners think. I know this has been an on and off issue, so removable batteries, removable storage, and you can even, we'll even throw in, if you have any comments on T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T, Straight Talk, or anybody else. So next I'm going to try Ting.
Ting. Ting. It's just an awesome name.
Yeah, I have to look and see if I can get sponsorship from them. I think they have an affiliate program. Maybe I'll put a link up on the website if I can join their affiliate program. Then we can make some money. Always good. Moving along, let's see what else happened. There was nothing really going on the Android front this week. Been a bit slow. But there were some new apps. Duolingo was updated. And it has a new UI, and the app is less than 5 gigabytes instead of its previous 5 megabytes instead of its previous 13 megabytes. So they actually succeeded in redesigning the app, retaining the functionality, making it look nicer, and making it much smaller.
Awesome. You know what? The only way that you could do that is by reducing your the graphics.
Maybe they did that. I always find it interesting when they've succeeded. So they redesigned the user interface. It may be that they used more graphics, and now they're using more generated stuff. Who knows? But I just find the whole idea interesting. The Cyanogen mod installer was removed from Google Play. Apparently, there was some talk that it might have violated the terms of service. But basically, apparently, Google was concerned that it would encourage users to void their warranties. So they weren't against people using it. They were more against it being easily accessible without warning. So it's no longer in there. You can download it directly from the site.
It's funny.
The official Google Play for Education device setup app has arrived. So if you are using a whole bunch of Nexus 7s at your school or university, you may now use this app to set them all up.
That sounds kind of spiffy.
Well, it is. It's, you know, the thing is that I keep hearing Los Angeles bought a whole bunch of students' iPads. And I know there was a school, Clearwater in Florida. I'm not sure how far that is from you, but I heard one of the people there being interviewed how they had gotten Amazon Kindles before Amazon came up with an administrator app, and they used to have to email somebody at Amazon to push the textbooks to the students.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's an administrative panel that they created. But, you know, this is the future. If you have an organization, you need the tools to manage large amounts of devices. So you need your corporate management app, and you need your education management app. You need something that can manage multiple devices that are under your control, be it in whole or part. So it may be, let me think of an example. It may be that somebody has a bring your own device, you know, the whole BYOD program, where they've bought their HTC One to work and they want to use it on the network. So you can install an app that will allow you to push company-related programs to that phone and keep those programs separate from their own personal stuff. That's the whole idea for the future. But this is for education, but it's the same general concept.
I can't imagine how many man hours that's going to save.
Well, that's the thing. For education, it's going to save a lot because once they start getting corporate tools, and they have a few, but not quite at the level that you would expect. That's what always surprised me. That for some reason, it never seemed to be, you know, that they were looking at this. I've heard that Samsung has its core, not Knox is this their for businesses thing. But I'm surprised that Android isn't announcing at Google I.O. or one of those events that they've solved the BYOD problem with an update to the OS itself or support tools that can be installed separately. Maybe that's what comes after KitKat? Lollipop?
You think so?
I don't know. What starts with L?
Lava.
Licorice?
Licorice would be a good one.
No, but Lollipop is a better graphic.
True.
No, I'm just saying.
A lot of people don't like licorice.
No, I'm just imagining, you know how they have the giant statue on the Google campus?
Mm-hmm.
What would look like a nicer statue? A giant piece of licorice or a giant lollipop? Well, let's ask Google while you think about that. I'm wondering if it can help me with this problem. Desserts that start with L. Here we are. What are some dessert wiki answers? What are some desserts that begin with the letter L? I just love how somebody on the internet cared about this before me. Lemon meringue pie, lemon cheesecake. So lemon.
Yeah.
Alphabetical list of dessert foods that begin with the letter L. Let's find something a little more serious. Food.seleca, whatever that is, .com. Nope, most of the stuff is lemon. Anyway, so I think lollipop is pretty, unless they're going to surprise us again like they did with Kit Kat, I think lollipop is a pretty good bet. You know, then they could use that old Cordette song.
Lollipop, lollipop, la 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 lollipop.
That's the one, yes. They just have to license that, yes. And you said you don't sing on the show.
I guess I did.
Okay. It must be the stomach. Side Player is a new app that adds a slide-out music control that can be accessed from any screen.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is. And YouTube is also rolling out a reorganized navigation menu. And apparently, when they dissected the APK, there's mention of background audio support. If you are a fan of iHeartRadio, they also had an update with side navigation, a lock screen, and program alerts. Double Twist redesigned its music player for tablets and the latest versions of Android. Spotify Connect.
Oh.
You used to use Spotify, didn't you, Jerry?
I still use Spotify.
So have you tried Spotify Connect? It allows you to stream music over Wi-Fi to select speakers.
I don't have any Wi-Fi speakers.
Would this make it worth you having Wi-Fi speakers? I'm not suggesting you go out and buy some. I'm just asking.
It would be cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the whole Sonos thing that people seem so thrilled about. Sonos allows our Wi-Fi connected speakers that you can stream from pretty much anything. People find them popular.
Some of these wireless speakers are kind of nice.
I should look at them. I don't want to do Spotify. But the thing is, I have the hardest time with Bluetooth speakers. It's such a pain in the neck to use them sometimes.
I don't think Bluetooth is a good, I don't know. Yeah,
maybe. Well, no, I'm wondering, you know, maybe that might work. I have all these Pis sitting around. I wonder if I can make something that would do Wi-Fi. I know
your Pis have an audio subsystem.
Well, the interesting thing is Pi do have they don't have an input, which is why I had so much trouble when I was trying to stream the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a 3.5 millimeter output jack, if I remember correctly. Should I go check? I have a Pi here somewhere.
Sure, go check.
1 second.
I'll sit here and suffer.
Well, why don't you talk about which speakers you can do Wi-Fi on?
No, that's all right. For those of you who are listening, I've got a pretty bad stomach ache right now. That's hence the I'm not at 100%. And if you hear me moan, that's why.
Okay, I walked into the other room to get a pie.
You got a pie?
Yeah.
Lemon meringue pie?
No, a raspberry pie.
Oh, raspberry doesn't start with L.
Yeah, so this is the older pie that I have. A little dirty. I better clean my pie. But the pie not only, yeah, I'm right. It has an analog video output and an analog 3.5 millimeter audio output jack. So I could use it to stream stereo audio to a speaker. That would be an interesting project, wouldn't it? Let's say I got one of those little mini amplifiers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones they sell for like $20 on Amazon. I got a Pi.
You just got like computer speakers. You know, they tend to take that 3.5 millimeter jack as an input.
Well, I'm just saying with the board and everything, I might be able to wire up something that looks interesting also. If I had more technical capability. Actually, that's not technical capability. Let me rephrase that. If I had more aesthetic capability to construct. You know, you see these people, they've modded an old Nintendo case and turned it into something. They've hacked out the inside and put in a modern computer.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I've never been good at is things that involve, let's say, a Dremel. I can make holes in things, but they never look quite as nice as when somebody who knows what they're doing does it.
Yeah.
So it's not so much the wiring things up, it's so much it's the aesthetic of it. And the whole point in doing one of those projects is to make it look good. You don't want something in your house that you've spent all this time and money on that looks like a piece of junk.
No, you don't.
No. Well, I'll see. Maybe I can figure something out. It's very nice that the local store has started carrying pie parts. Because I was looking and they have a case for a pie that's a Vesamount case.
I don't know what that is.
You know, the thing on the back of a monitor where you can mount it to the wall. It's like the four holes that are at the same distance.
Okay, that's two words. Vesamount.
Yes. Gotcha. But since the case has four holes for mounting to something, even if, you know, I could go and use that to, let's say, mount the pie to the back of a speaker or something. I'll think about it. I have to do my research, I guess. But, you know, I have a long list of projects I'd like to do. For example, sitting here on the desk is 15 feet of network cable I have to crawl under the desk to replace because the end of the existing cable, the, you know, that little plastic tab that holds it into the jack?
Yeah, that always breaks off.
It broke off. And now it won't stay in unless I tape it, so I bought another cable. I just don't want to crawl onto the desk and pull the old one out. I'll get to it.
Why don't you just slice it off and put another end on?
I was always bad at that, too.
Oh.
No, I've done it. I usually mess it up somehow and don't stick the wire in far enough or miswire it, and then before you know it, I've cut off 10 feet of the cable. The only time I'm really good at that is if I've just done it 10 times and suddenly I've remembered how to do it. Yeah. I do that maybe once a year, and you know, by the time I remember my technique, I've already wasted half a dozen jacks. It's easier to spend the $5 on the cable.
Sure.
So yes, I'm capable of doing that. I'm not going to do it. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh yes, Mobiata has abandoned older versions of its flight track app. It's released a new version that existing users must repurchase. The old version, you can still use it if you bought it, but it's abandoned. And the new version also lacks TripIt integration, which a lot of people think is essential. So I'm upset. I own this app chair. Do you know why I'm upset?
Why?
Well, I don't begrudge any developer who chooses to monetize for upgrades to do so.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what somebody feels they have to do, so much more the power to them. But I feel I wasn't told that. Since the whole Android ecosystem is based on the idea that you will get updates to your app if you've purchased it, and these people kept saying that they were going to update the app, so they didn't say, well, we're going to release a new version, we're abandoning this. They kept saying, we're going to update this app. And what they did was they released a free version for people that was, you know, with ads that was in better condition than the paid version.
Wow.
So what I feel is that, you know, that had this been an implied part of my contract, that bug fixes will be something that they will fix, and everything else, well, you're just going to have to buy the next version. If that had been told to me, I would feel very different about the matter.
I'm sure.
I just feel that I wasn't made aware.
You weren't made aware.
So I bought something with the understanding that it would be supported in the same way that all these, the other apps that I purchase are supported. And here they are telling me, well, wait a minute. You've been promising me an upgrade and now you're going to make me pay for it. So let's read some of the reviews. Terrible. Paid $10 for the last version, which was buggy and had issues with new devices. Developer promised an update and said it would be coming with a new interface. New update is here, but if you want to fix the bugs, you have to pay.
Hmm.
Those of us who bought it before we are getting raped. That's a bit strong. What a bunch of greedy developers. Thanks for charging me for less functionality and upgraded UI. I referred to the blog where I saw no mention of why you believe you need to charge for an upgrade that was promised for months. Very disappointed in your company. And that's
I would just like to point out that these apps, they tend to take a lot of time to create.
Yes, but see,
and they're charging what?
$4.
50 cents, $4.
Well, in this case, $10.
$10?
Yeah, it's a little more than that's a little more than, but it's you have to understand it is a popular app. But see, my point is different. My point is, if they said that from the beginning, fine, I'll accept it if they said it from the beginning. But if you expect them to be like every other app that gives you updates for life, and then you don't give updates for life, and you promise an update and then reveal that you're going to charge for it, that seems a bit dishonest. If they just said so, I would have no objection.
My comment was directed more at the review that said, why do you think you deserve or why do you need the money? Something along those lines.
What, the greedy? No, I think app developers deserve to be compensated for their apps. And I don't mind if there's been a significant increase in functionality in them saying, well, we've released this as another version because of all the time we spent on it. and we'll continue. We supported the other version with bug fixes and repairs, and now we've done this complete rewrite, and we feel you should. So they didn't, you know, all they did was they kept promising an update, and when the update came, it was in the form of a repurchase. So there's no discount for people who previously purchased. There's no, well, we're going to do this. Every time we release a major version, we are going to release it as a new app. So just say it. And there's no comment. It's, we did it, fine. So it's basically how they handled it I'm objecting to, not them actually deciding that they're not going, that all this hard work meant that they should get some more money. Is that a fair difference?
No, I'm asking, I think, you as a developer. They released an update that was buggy, or they just did not release an update?
They didn't release an update to a version that people were saying repeatedly had multiple bugs. And instead, they released a major UI update, which also had bugs, and chose to charge for it, and have essentially abandoned the version that's still buggy. So it's, we're going to continue to develop and innovate on this new version. The old version is abandonware, and we're never going to fix those bugs that we said we were going to.
They actually said they were going to fix them?
They said that there would be major fixes in the next upgrade. So they didn't specifically say they were going to fix A, B, and C. The implication was that this big upgrade they were working on was going to be the answer to everybody's issues.
Implication, you say?
Yes. Well, you know how reviews are. You write a review. Oh, I have a problem with this, this, and this. Oh, yes, we have an upgrade coming that's going to fix that. Stay tuned for the big update.
Okay.
So, again, my point is they created an expectation. And if this is what they intended to do, all they had to do to avoid that any complaint from me was, we're going to do this. Or even coming out with a post, we've decided that we're going to do this after the fact. Or during the fact. When you deviate from the norm, it's nice to say something.
Yeah, it is. I'm out of energy.
Okay.
I can't argue with you anymore.
Okay.
Not really arguing. I agree with what you're saying, that if they were going to
approach it this way,
when they changed their plans, they should have.
Well, that might have always been their plan, but they didn't really convey it. I think that the company is not expressing itself in a way to make its customers happy. And the thing is, I'm going to state for the record, in case I get angry emails on either side, I have no problem paying for an upgrade if I feel that the features they're offering are worth it. That's my choice. But don't give me the expectation that you're going to provide support for a certain period of time and then say that that support comes with a price. Tell me what I'm purchasing for my money, and I'll gladly pay it if I feel it's worth it. Anyway, in a final story, Allcast is back. Do you remember Allcast?
I love your comment.
Which one?
That it cast to everything except Chromecast.
Well, remember, it was the developer's app to cast to Chromecast that had to be pulled because Chromecast won't allow open developer support right now. So you can't put Chromecast in anything. So what did the developer do? He shrugged his shoulders and said, well, I spent all this time on this and I'm very interested. So his app essentially will do the exact same thing it did before, except it will do it to Xbox, Apple TV, Samsung Smart TVs, Roku boxes, or any DLNA device. So what he said was, well, I'm just going to do the same thing anyway, I'm just not going to support the Chromecast.
I'll do it with, so but, kind of.
Well, that's basic.
Removes the need for a Chromecast.
Well, the thing is this, not quite.
Ow.
Because what I really like about the Chromecast is the ability to find a video on my device and send it to play. So this is locally stored only. So this is if I wanted to. It's very useful if I wanted to, let's say, send a picture up to my screen that I had on my, that I just took with my camera, but not if I had if I wanted to send a picture from the internet to the screen. So it still doesn't have that second part. So it doesn't have the functionality that I sort of liked in regards to making the phone a remote for your television in terms of sending data and then being able to bring the control back to the device and watch what you're watching on the television back on the device. It all has to be locally stored. So basically, once he gets internet to work on this, I'd be very interested, but for now, it's not where I want it to be.
Still neat, though.
No, I think it had, because there's
a technological achievement.
It is, and maybe I should just store more movies on my and videos on my device itself. You know, I could download them using my podcatcher. I usually use that for audio, but I could use it for video.
You might even put it on that 64 gig micro SD thingy for $60.
I don't have one of those. I can go get one, but I don't have one. I have a 32 gig in my phone at the moment. I put music on it so that I have my whole collection. Since I don't have Sirius Radio, I had to create my own Radio Hanukkah this year. I unexpectedly got into my father's car, which I didn't expect to. That's a whole other story. Anyway, so Speaking of the Chromecast, there's supposedly some sort of Chrome hackathon this week where they've invited developers to hack on Chromecasts.
Wow, that's neat.
So maybe they are finally ready to open up the SDK. And we know that several developers have tested their apps to the point at which the day that they're allowed to enable the Chromecast functionality, they'll do it within 24 hours.
Nice.
So if this means they're opening up the SDK, expect the Chromecast to become a lot more useful next week. If it isn't, we didn't lose anything. We didn't gain anything. We are where we are. Although we did get HBO Go last week.
Woo!
Well, I watched HBO. You know, I was in the country and I happened to have, as I said, my father was with me. I happened to have access to his Comcast login from Florida. And since he was there, because remember, it's his account and I wouldn't want to steal his credentials in order to watch something myself, we watched something together. Seemed to work pretty well. And that brings us to the end of our program, I guess, this week. Jerry, are you available at on December 9th at 10 p.m.?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to ask because you still haven't acknowledged my meeting request.
Meeting request? I got a meeting request?
Oh, I sent you a Google Calendar request.
You did? I don't use Google Calendar.
But it would send you an email notifying you that somebody had sent you a meeting invitation.
I didn't notice it.
Well, I figured if you accepted the meeting invitation, then it was programmed to remind you 24 hours beforehand that you had to show up for a podcast. And then again, 1 hour beforehand. I figured I would try to program your phone without you realizing it.
That would be cool.
I figured since it didn't work, I might as well spill the beans that I tried to do that.
Mm.
Didn't work.
And yet I showed up anyway.
Yeah, this time. Anyway, so I will see you next week at about the same time. And hopefully the computer that does the recording will be back because I've been using this laptop last week after everything failed and I haven't had time to rebuild it. And I don't know if I will this week because I have to leave town. Maybe next week. Anyway, that brings us to another end of recording here on the Android Buffet podcast. If you'd like to contact us, you can use the contact form on the website. You can leave us a testimonial. We haven't had one in a while. All we've had is spam, which I have filtered, so you can't see the spam. So a testimonial is, of course, where you want to say something nice about the podcast in general. Of course, there are comments on every episode. You can use the contact form to say something specific to us. You can try Facebook. You can try Twitter. You can try Google Plus, where our Google Plus page is run by the intrepid Kevin McLaughlin. Now, all of these things can be found at whateverTheServices.com/AndroidBuffet. That's Twitter.com/AndroidBuffet, Facebook.com/AndroidBuffet, or Google.com/+AndroidBuffet. If you wish to find Jerry Jones, Jerry?
jere.jones@gmail.com.
Yes, Jerry is always happy to hear from you.
By Jacksonville and knock on the door.
I'm happy to do that one of these days.
We'll have lunch or dinner.
What would
not breakfast? So if it's breakfast, it's way too early.
I have to ask a question. What would you do if I just flew to Jacksonville tomorrow and knocked on your door?
Open it.
I'm not going to do that, by the way. I wouldn't be so rude, but just curious.
I would open the door and say, come on in.
Okay. Well, I would love to meet everybody in your household. I hear so many nice things about them.
Yeah, they're pretty cool most of the time.
I'll take your word for it. I have not met them yet, but I will someday. Anyway, I will wave to you as I wing my way over Jacksonville and then back over Jacksonville.
And when will that be?
Using my portable electronic device, because I no longer have to put it into a power off mode. I may now place it safely in flight mode. Thank you, FAA. Anyway, that will be over the weekend. So I'll be back in New York long before, unless there's a major incident. I'll be back in New York on Saturday night in time to write the show notes for the podcast and do this all over again.
Woot.
Woot to you as well. And just think of me as I fly over. I'll be sitting there. Maybe I'll be lucky and get one of their Wi-Fi equipped planes because they don't officially have them yet. But I know they've been doing some testing. I'm usually not that lucky, but you never know. If so, I will do the obligatory, hi, I am tweeting, circling, Facebooking, hanging out, what have you, from 30,000 feet. It's mandatory to do that at least once on each airline. After that, it gets boring. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the program. If you want to leave us any sort of audio recording, we have our voicemail at 2012-WENICA. And of course, you can just record an audio file and send it over. Maybe we should make this a call-in show. You know, I could hook up a phone and, you know, people could call us during the show live. Nah, I'd be disappointed if nobody called. Nix that. Anyway, Jerry, I will see you same time next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Where'd the bat come in?
I don't know.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye, folks.